leading up to this point in the service, and that's good singing, so we're going to continue with hymn 151, 151, when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. I trust that you can sing this sincerely, and you'll be able to say, I'll be gathered there with the saved of God. And that's our prayer, that if you're not ready tonight, that even tonight you put your faith and trust in Christ and be ready for that day when the roll is called up yonder. Let's really lift our voices unto the Lord and stand together to worship him. Let's stand and sing. We're going to unite our hearts together in prayer. We want to seek God's face tonight and ask for his blessing in our meeting. We are so glad you're here tonight, but we do need the presence of the Lord. And therefore, if you're saved, do pray that God will meet with us tonight and that even hearts will be changed in our gathering. Our gracious Lord, our loving, eternal Heavenly Father, we are so thankful and so grateful to be able to come into thy throne room of grace tonight in the attitude of prayer through the merit of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the way that has been opened for sinful man to approach a holy God through the blood of the Saviour. And we thank thee, Lord, tonight for all in this gathering who have been saved by God's grace and washed in his precious blood. We're so thankful for each one who can truly sing when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. We thank thee for the day and hour that they trust that Christ is their Saviour, and for the moment their names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And we rejoice, Lord, that those of us who are saved not only for time, but we're saved eternally. We thank thee that the Scripture teaches us we cannot lose our salvation. Christ has done a perfect work and an eternal work within our heart. And we thank thee, Lord, that we are on our way home to heaven. This world is not our home. We rejoice, Lord, in the blessings we have here, in the family and friends whom we love. We thank thee, Lord, for everything that thou hast done for us here. But truly, this is not where we belong. And we thank thee for the day and hour our eyes will open in that land that is fairer than day, when there's no more sickness or pain or suffering, no more dying, no more sin. And Lord, what will it be to be like our Saviour, to be able to praise him and worship him with an unsinning heart? And Lord, we're looking forward to heaven. What a day, glorious day that will be. But Lord, for the time you give us upon this earth, help us to live for thee. Help us, Lord, to tell others about the Saviour and about his work on Calvary, about the blood that can cleanse from all sin. Help us, O Lord, to be faithful to thee in the life that thou dost give each one of us. And we pray, Lord, for any in this gathering who are not yet saved, who are walking on their way to a lost eternity. We pray, Lord, tonight will be the night where they find Christ. We pray, O Lord, that you will open their heart to receive the truth of the gospel, and that even this night they will repent from their sin and call on the name of the Lord that they might be saved. But thank you, there's still mercy with our Saviour. Thank you, Lord, we're still in day of grace. Thank you, Lord, that you will hear the cry of the whosoever tonight. And Lord, thou wilt save. And therefore, we pray you'll give the gifts of faith and repentance into this meeting. We do thank thee, Lord, for each one in our meeting tonight. We thank you especially for Sister Kira. We rejoice in bringing her along with her family tonight. And we pray, Lord, that you'll bless our sister as she would testify tonight. May she know the help of the Lord in a very special way. And may there be a resting place in hearts for the word that she speaks. And Lord, even for the message that I will preach afterwards, we just pray that, Lord, it'll be of thee, and that thou wilt use it for the extension of thy kingdom, for the building up of the saints of God, and even for the salvation of the lost. We are so thankful tonight we're in the house of the Lord. We're so thankful tonight we've come to worship a living Saviour, and we're so grateful tonight we've come to open the Bible, to tell men and women, boys and girls, that there's only one way to be saved. There's only one name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, and that is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We do pray, Lord, you'll move tonight. Think of those who can't be in our meeting. We think, Lord, of those who are watching online at home, who are in beds of sickness, those who are mourning, those, O Lord, tonight, who because of age can't be out. We pray you'll bless them as they would watch the service tonight. We pray, O Lord, that thy hand will be upon them for good. We pray especially, Lord, for any, Lord, who had hoped to be here tonight, but circumstances have prohibited. We just pray, Lord, that when they watch, maybe a later point, Lord, that the Spirit of God will be there and encourage them, Lord, even as the Word of God goes forth. We are so blessed. We're so blessed with the open door tonight. We're so blessed with a Savior who walks with his people by his Spirit. We're so blessed, Lord, tonight to know that we're under the blood. And we thank thee and we praise thee for the joy that Jesus gives to his people. And we pray tonight, Lord, for a meeting where there is joy in our hearts. We pray, O Lord, that we will rejoice in the God of our salvation. We can truly say we have looked forward to coming to God's house tonight. And we pray, Lord, that you will meet with us in a very, very special way. We do remember our land tonight. We leave our land before thee. Lord, we're grieved with the laws. We're grieved with the way things are moving in our land. But we realize that God is still on the throne. And Lord, thou art working thy purposes out. And you'll pray, Lord, you'll keep us faithful to thee in this day and in this generation. And, O Lord, you'll be pleased to move again in our land, even in our town, in our community, bringing people to a consciousness of God, saving the lost, the vilest of sinners, and, Lord, causing thy people to live lives that are clean and pure and holy. O Lord, we pray for reviving again. Lord, start tonight in this meeting. Lord, clear away the dross, we pray. Lord, take away those things that would hinder the blessing of God, and help us tonight to know what it is to be in the center of thy precious will. We do remember those maybe sitting in our gathering tonight and they're going through difficult times. Lord, maybe there are burdens that they are bearing and nobody else knows anything about them. There's a smile upon their face, but maybe their heart's breaking tonight. And our cry is that, O Lord, that thou would come alongside. And Lord, thou would lift the burden tonight. And Lord, they would find in Jesus their all in all. We thank thee for the words of that little chorus, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and his grace. Oh Lord, our eyes are in so many things these days, so many things to take our attention. But Lord, one thing is needful. Oh, that our eyes would be fixed upon Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. May we see him tonight. We pray in our Saviour's precious and holy name. Amen and amen. We're turning to 308, a lovely testimony hymn, an uplifting hymn of praise. O happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Saviour and my God. Well may this glowing heart rejoice and tell its raptures all abroad. We're going to sing four of the verses, verses 1, 2, and 3, and then the final verse, number 5. We'll leave out verse 4 just for time, but verses 1, 2, 3, and then down to verse number 5. And let's really lift our voices together as we sing. Let's stand and sing it out.
Oh, happy day that fixed my joys, only my Savior and my God. Well, may this glowing heart rejoice and tell his raptures all.
We're turning in God's Word to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and in our services we're reading just consecutively through the New Testament, and we come tonight to the end of the book of 1 Corinthians, and we just want to read from verse number 13. Chapter number 16. And reading from verse number 13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. The word quit, it means behave. Behave yourselves like men, behave honorably, and live up to your profession. Verse 14, let all your things be done with charity or love. I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. that ye submit yourselves unto such, and to every one that helpeth with us and laboureth. I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part they have supplied. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you in the Lord, with the church that is in their house. All the brethren greet you. Greet ye one another with an holy kiss. The salutation of me, Paul, with mine own hand. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. And we trust that the Lord will add a blessing to the public reading of his precious and his holy word for his name's sake. We do want to thank you for being here tonight. We do have a number of visitors in, and we welcome you warmly in the Saviour's precious and worthy name, and we trust you'll enjoy fellowshipping with us here tonight. We welcome those who are watching online as well, and we encourage you to share this service if you're watching on Facebook by pressing the share button, and we pray that many people will hear the words tonight of the testimony and of the preaching, and it'll be a benefit to their soul. We do want to leave the announcements for the incoming week in the will of the Lord just before you. Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. is our children's workers prayer meeting, and that will be over in the complex. That's from 7 to 7:45. And then at 8 p.m. we will have our church hour of prayer, and we ask our congregation to come along and leave the needs of this new season before the Lord in prayer. On Friday at 8 p.m. we have our presbytery meeting for the members of session, and that's in Armagh Free Presbyterian Church. Saturday, this Saturday and next Saturday, in the will of the Lord, are going to be two special outreach days for our church here in Muckerfelt. Our congregation, along with members of our youth fellowship, along with members of the youth council of the Free Presbyterian Church, are joining together to have a special time of outreach in our town, principally in preparation for the mission that's coming up in September for the youth fellowship, but also to give out invitations to our church and for the Sunday school and for our services here. So we do want a good number of people to gather together at 10:30 here at the church to have a short time of prayer before we go on our time of outreach. We'll come back to the church at 1 or so for lunch, and then maybe an hour afterwards just to finish off. So we're encouraging you to be a part of that. Even if you can only be a part of it for a certain amount of time, please do let us know, and we certainly would be glad to have you along. And pray that there be doors that are ready for outreach and people we will meet that are ready to receive the invitation and indeed the word of the Lord. At 8 p.m. on Saturday evening is the recommencement of our youth fellowship. We also are thankful for the youth rally last night. We had a good number of young people in under the ministry of the Reverend Gary Goods, and we are so thankful for how the Lord is using these meetings in the youth rallies. Next Lord's Day morning, then, at 10:45, is the Sunday school recommencement time. You should have got a little card if you are Sunday school age in your way in or out this morning. And we do encourage you to come at 10:45 for the new Sunday school season. The Bible classes will be starting at 11 a.m. and then 12 noon family worship, 7 p.m. the gospel evening service. Now, between the morning and evening service, we're having a time of prayer from 1:30 to 4:30, and that will be over in the complex. So after the morning service, we'll make our way over to the complex for that time of prayer. And we encourage God's people to be with us. We're starting a new season of work. The children's works are starting, the youth works, all of these different meetings are recommencing, and we need the blessing of God. So before we go any further, we're going to stop and we're going to pray for God's blessing to be upon us. Do keep praying for the youth mission in September and the gospel mission in November, and we're looking forward to those times of the moving of the Lord among us. As I mentioned this morning, we do make an appeal for bus workers and bus drivers for the Sunday school run. At the moment, those who are volunteering do miss the first part of the morning service, taking the children home again after Sunday school. So we want to share this work out among as many people as possible, so they're not missing every Sunday, but we can draw up a rota. So do pray about it. If the Lord would have you to minister in that way and work in that way, very practical way, a very important way, bringing children in to the Sunday school and home again, then do please let our brother Kyle Wenlock know as soon as possible, and we'll be able to get a rota drawn up for that. We are hoping to do a few children's meetings, or open airs, on Wednesday and Thursday of this week in the evening time. And if you would like to help with those, or if you're free maybe on the Wednesday or Thursday and you would like to be a part of that work from approximately 6:30 to 8 each night, please do come and speak to me. I'll be here just by the organ, and just let me have your name. I'll be in contact later on in the week about the final arrangements for those meetings. We do pray for it. We're going out to get the children, encourage them to come in for the Sunday school, for the children's meetings, if there's parents with toddlers, to get them in to that meeting as well. So do pray for this and support the work if you possibly can. We do want to remember those who have been bereaved this week. We do remember the Steele family on the passing of Kathleen, and the Patterson family on the passing of Sarah. And we do pray that the Lord will comfort and sustain these families at this time. If I or any of the elders can be of any help to you over the incoming week, then please do make contact, and we certainly will help you in whatever way we can. And we make all these announcements subject to the will of the Lord. We are delighted tonight to have our sister Ciara Arnold, and we're going to invite her to come along now at this point in the service and share the testimony of how the Lord has saved her and how the Lord has kept her to this hour. And we trust the Lord will bless you as you testify, and bless this congregation as we listen to the grace of God in your life.
I just want to start by thanking the Reverend Ryan McKee for having me along here tonight. I don't know if maybe many of you know of me or who I am, so I'll start by telling you a little bit about myself. My name is Ciara Arnold, and before I was married, my name was Ciara Beattie. I'm 25 years old, and I grew up outside Kells, County Antrim, with my mum, dad, and my three brothers. I'm the second oldest in my family. I have a brother, John, who is 30 years old. And at the age of 3, my mum and dad adopted John into our family. My mum had met John while she was working with special needs children in Belfast. So John has severe autism, which means he's totally dependent on everyone around him every day for everything. 3 years then after that, I was born. And I have two younger brothers, Ethan, who is 23, and Joey, who's 19. Growing up with three brothers, I was pretty used to the rough and tumble, and although John has special needs, if he ever kicked or hit or done what any other brother would do, he got it straight back. We had a happy childhood, and we'd done all the normal things that most children would be doing, and we never really had anything overly unusual happen, and everything seemed to be pretty straightforward for us. I attended a little country primary school not far from our house called Cronats. And then I moved on to Cambridge House Grammar School in Ballymena, where I stayed to complete my GCSEs. And they always say school is the best years of your life, but I do think I would disagree. I couldn't wait to get left and start working, and the only thing I thought school was good for was maybe a bit of crack. Growing up with my older brother John, I gained an early experience with special needs, so I knew when I left school I would like to get a job down the similar career path. So when I left school, I went on to study childcare in the Tech in Ballymena, and I stayed here for 2 years, and then I started working in Castle Tower Special School in Ballymena on a temporary contract as an additional special needs classroom assistant. 2 to 3 years later, I then applied for a job in Riverside School in Antrim, and I'd really applied for the job as experience of an interview, never really expecting to get the job. But later that evening, I got the call to say that I had managed to get myself a permanent job. And I really couldn't believe it, and it was a wee bit more special because this is the school John had gone to a couple of years before. This is now my sixth year, I think, now working in Riverside, and I love every minute of it, and no 2 days are ever the same. Growing up, I was brought to church each Sunday and attended Sunday school at a church just down the road from our house. I didn't always have a Christian upbringing, as my mum and dad weren't saved until I was around the age of 9. And at this time, we started heading to Ballymena Free Presbyterian Church, where we were sent along to Sunday school and the Friday night meetings. And as I got older, I started attending the youth fellowship. In 2016, we began going to Antrim Free Presbyterian Church, and this is where we're still attending now. And I really couldn't ask for a better church family, especially over the past 2.5 years. The support and the encouragement from everyone has really been amazing, and it's really just like having a second family. Through going to church and meetings, I grew up knowing my need to be saved and the importance of having a personal relationship with God. When I was about 11, I remember being outside with my dad one night while he had lit what felt like a bonfire, but it was really probably no bigger than a campfire. And as we stood watching the flames getting bigger and bigger and hotter, he used it as a representation of hell and how if I wasn't saved, I would end up spending my eternity there. He didn't scare me into getting saved, but it really just got me thinking that night, and it made me realise that if anything happened to me, I really didn't want to be spending my eternity in hell. It was then that I knew I needed to get my heart right with God, and it felt like I had a weight lifted off my shoulders that night, and it really gave me such a peace and assurance. As I started in secondary school, I had a few Christian friends from the youth fellowship, but I was worried about fitting in, so to my shame, I really wasn't great at letting other people know I was a Christian, or really that I went to church for that matter. I was doing and saying the things that I knew really wouldn't have pleased the Lord, and although it looked like I was maybe having great fun, deep down I knew I should have been taking my stand for God, and this really bothered me, but I was just trying to fit in with what I thought was cool at the time. Outside school, I was still going to church and the youth fellowship and going to youth camps over the summer, which I really enjoyed, and this continued throughout my teenage years, and I'm really grateful for all these memories and times we had together as I was growing up. If I'm to give one piece of advice to any Christians now who are maybe starting new schools, university, or maybe even new jobs, it's definitely seek out your Christian company right from the beginning and take your stand. And it won't always be easy, but it definitely will. You'll be blessed for it, and you'll definitely have a better time. As you go through any trials or anything, you'll always have that support from somebody you can really trust and that knows that God's always there for you also. During the year with the youth fellowship, we would attend youth rallies, and this is where the different youths all gather together on the Friday night. And in March 2013, we headed here for a youth rally. And at the end of the meeting, there was a few of us from Ballymena Church at the time that I was with. We headed over to speak with a couple of friends that we had from Lisburn, who we had met at summer camps the previous years. Standing in the middle of the group, just down that very aisle, was a young Matthew Arnold, who I had never met before that evening. We didn't talk that night, but I do remember him for his striking red hair, his funny personality and infectious laugh. And I do believe this is the first time I've been back since. The following night, we then headed to watch a movie for a friend's birthday. And as we were waiting for them to arrive in the car park, I heard this loud music. Soon after, a guy arrived into the car park in a shining black Honda Civic, and it was none other than Matthew. We sat beside each other that night and got talking, so I suppose you could say that weekend was really when it all began. I knew there was something different about Matthew right from the beginning. And the more we talked, the more I could see his amazing personality shine through. He was funny, witty, but most importantly, he was a Christian too. Matthew was saved as a young boy at the age of 6, and in April 2013, we started dating. From very early on, I knew that he was going to be somebody very important in my life. And to me, Matthew was the perfect guy, although I can't stand and say here that the two of us were perfect people, because everyone has their flaws and temptations. But together we worked really well, keeping each other going in the right direction for God. And Matthew was a great encouragement for me in my Christian walk. We spent every weekend together, whether we headed out somewhere, stayed in, or even went to work. At the weekends and during the school holidays, I was able to work with Matthew and his mum and dad's dessert factory. And when we're kids, I suppose we all dream of working in a desserts or a sweet factory. And you think you can maybe eat as you work. But by the time you get a hairnet and boots and green coat and everything on, it's really not as glamorous as what everybody might think. But nonetheless, I really am grateful that me and Matthew got to spend all this time together, even if we were supposed to be working. We were also lucky enough to go on summer holidays with each other's families each year, usually over to England or France. And we made some amazing and funny memories, and these will last me a lifetime. In April 2016, on our three-year anniversary, Matthew organised dinner and a walk around Portland Owen Forest, where he that night got down on one knee, and I couldn't wait to get home and tell my mum and dad and the rest of my family the news, but little did I know Matthew had already had everybody informed. After we told my mum and dad, we then headed down to Matthew's mum and dad to share the news, and Matthew hadn't mentioned a thing, so to see the excitement on their face was priceless. The next 2 years, we then spent planning our wedding and getting our home ready. We bought our first home in Donaghcloney, just a mile away from Matthew's brother Ford, his wife Nikki, and their three children. We enjoyed every minute of choosing all the different decor and furniture, and it was really like our first step into becoming proper adults. On Thursday the 26th of July 2018, we got married in Antrim Free Presbyterian Church, surrounded by our family and friends, and we really felt the presence of God through the service. The sun shone all day, and even some of the school kids and staff came to see us when we were coming out of the church, which made it extra special. We then headed to the Gal Gorm for our reception, and it was really like the perfect day, and it felt like such a dream. I couldn't believe I was getting to marry my best friend. On the 26th of July, this is also the day that I gained a more amazing and godly family. I was blessed with Phyllis and Hartford as my mother and father-in-law, Ford and Nicky as my brother and sister-in-law, and not forgetting my crazy but perfect little niece and nephews, Thomas, Daniel and Emma. It really seemed so perfect. I had found the man of my dreams, and we were now married and thinking of all the things that could happen in the future. We always knew we would love a big family together, but for us, it wasn't going to be just as easy. To others looking in from the outside into our relationship, it may have looked like things were perfect and that things were really going great. And they were, but there were also a lot of tears and worrying that the one thing we dreamed of together maybe would never happen. At the age of 16, I was told that I would possibly struggle to have children. But up until I was married and we were ready for trying to have our own family, I never really thought too much into it. And I didn't really want to believe it, to be honest, until it became a hurdle. But Matthew was a great person for reminding me that everything happens when it's supposed to, and God's timing is always perfect whether we like it or not. A year later, after some hospital appointments and what seemed like endless prayer, we found out that we were expecting our very own little miracle, and our little bundle was going to be due in March 2020. We were over the moon, and we really couldn't thank God enough. We spent 9 months trying to figure out baby names, wondering would our baby be a boy or a girl, what colour would their hair be and their eyes be, would they grow up to be tall like Matthew or short like me, and we often talked about things that we couldn't wait to do when our little baby arrived. It wasn't long before the new year arrived, and this was the year 2020. We were so excited. This was going to be our year. The year we became a family of three, the year we found out if our wee baby was a boy or a girl. We had decided on names for a boy or a girl, although we were pretty set that it was going to be a wee boy. 2020 was also the year that we had planned on moving to the bungalow just down the lane from Ford and Nicky. We were so excited and couldn't help but think of all the days to come when our children could be out playing with their cousins down the lane, racing quads, or just getting up to all the different antics that most kids would be doing. It just all really seemed perfect. As the weeks went on, we got closer and closer to our due date, and the end of February arrived. The talk of coronavirus had also started. It started spreading more at this point, but we still really weren't thinking too much into it. 2 weeks later, on a Wednesday morning, I had a check-up appointment just to see how baby was doing. And by the end of the appointment, I was told that they would like to see baby arriving sooner rather than later. And I was told to keep an ear out for the phone over the next few days to go to Craigavon Hospital. Matthew arrived home that evening from work, and I told him that we could be meeting our little baby soon. And it really all started to feel real. The next morning, my phone rang at 6:30, and it was the midwife ringing to say that they would like me in to Craigavon Hospital for about 10:30. I got off the phone and Matthew just looked at me. This was the last morning we woke up as Kira and Matthew and not Mummy and Daddy. we started getting ready to make sure everything was ready in the car, finishing off, getting car seats in and making sure everything was in the bags. And as I was finishing getting ready upstairs, I could hear the TV going downstairs, and Matthew, as laid back as could be, was sitting getting his last few rounds of Xbox in before we had to leave. We arrived at Craigavon Hospital shortly after 10 a.m, and after 2 days and many laps walked around the hospital, on Saturday the 14th of March, our little miracle arrived into the world. And it was a girl. 7 pounds 13 of pure perfection, and Eve Jean Arnold made our family feel complete. God had blessed us with the most precious little gift. The same weekend Eve arrived, COVID-19 had also well and truly arrived. We didn't get to experience what it was like having visitors arriving in to meet our little baby, as we weren't allowed any visitors into the hospital, so no grandparents or family could meet our new little addition. And when we were leaving the hospital, we were told to try and stay away from everyone. And this really put a spin onto the excitement that we thought we would feel coming home with our baby. And it really gave us a fear. But we had to do what was right for Eve. So we kept everyone at home, and anybody that came to visit Eve or try to see Eve had to visit her, sadly, through the window. We felt so isolated and on edge, as I'm sure did everyone at this time. So Matthew decided it would be a good idea to move in with his family for a few weeks, as they lived in a more rural area just a couple of miles down the road. So this meant we could go out with Eve for walks and stuff without worrying that we'd bump into too many people. So Matthew gave his mum a ring, and after a few trips in the car, he had brought the essentials round to his parents' house, and this is now where we were going to spend some time. And looking back now, I'm never so glad we did go and spend this time with his parents. We went for walks up and down the road, and Matthew was able to show his parents how amazing he took on the role of daddy. He just doted on little Eve, and he loved holding her and watching her as she moved her little fingers and toes. She was so small that Matthew was able to put her head in the palm of his hand, and her back just lay along his forearm, and he carried her about with such control in one arm. Matthew took his 2 weeks paternity leave and even extended it a further week. Life seemed totally perfect, and in the midst of everything else going on, we just loved watching our little Eve grow and become more alert each day. God had really blessed us, and we just couldn't believe that this was now our life, getting to spend it with our new wee baby. With us now staying at Phyllis and Hartford's for a few weeks, the weather was amazing, and Matthew decided he would bring round his motorbike, who he called Daisy, from our house up to Phyllis and Hartford's house. He spent a day or two washing his motorbike and his car, Sylvia, until they looked like they'd come straight from the showroom. I just loved to watch him in his element between his car, his motorbike, and now his precious daughter. I don't think I'd ever been so happy. In the evenings, we had to FaceTime my family, as this is the only contact we could have with them because they lived in Antrim and they couldn't travel due to the travel restrictions in place at the time. It was so difficult, and all I wanted to do was show my mum and dad and brothers, who had now been promoted to grandparents and uncles, our little baby that we had prayed for so long. On Mother's Day, we met my mum and dad outdoors for a walk, which meant we got to see us as a family of three, but sadly my wee brothers never got to. Soon Matthew started back to work, and it was Monday the 6th of April. With Matthew working in a food factory, he was known as a key worker at the time, so while others were advised to stay at home, he had to continue heading to work. He left at 7:30 after helping me feed and change Eve. That day, as he left for work, I could feel myself counting down the hours until he arrived back home again. In the evening, when he arrived home, I was just so happy to see him back in one piece and just hear how his day had got on with all the new changes in work. He came in and he told everyone how it felt so strange with all the COVID restrictions, but he was glad to be back home and just feeling his safe space again. We had dinner and we lay on the sofa that night with Eve in between us as she slept, and we watched a movie and we started to adapt our new family life with a little baby. We talked again about all the things we could do when the COVID restrictions ended. And I even got carried away with trying to talk Matthew into booking a holiday to Disneyland for our first holiday with Eve. And I got quickly shot down for that and told to wise up. Tuesday the 7th of April then arrived, and this is a day I'll never forget. Matthew again helped me feed and change Eve as he got ready for work. He came in and he kissed Eve goodbye, and we said I love you as he left for work. I lay awake for a while and seen the sun shining in through a gap in the curtains. And then I heard the noise of Matthew's motorbike starting up. It wasn't hard to hear, as his car and his motorbike had loud exhausts, and I think his motto was the bigger the better. Soon the noise faded into the distance, and you could tell that he was a few miles ready for work. From the start, Tuesday had been a really strange day, and I was missing my family more than ever, and I was really just struggling to lift my mood. I felt very emotional throughout the day, and found myself just crying on and off, and I really began to miss Matthew's company and support as he was at work. I had given the doctor a wee ring, and we spoke for a bit, and they told me that I had postnatal depression, and that COVID really wasn't playing a great part in it at all. In the afternoons, I had started doing little Bible studies while Eve slept, so I thought the best way to lift my mood would be to connect with God. And I suddenly felt such an urge to pray for Matthew that day as he would arrive home safely from work, which is something that I had really never felt before. But I continued on with my Bible study and tried not to think or worry too much more about it. That evening, I was sitting with Phyllis and Eve in the living room as we waited on Matthew and Hartford getting home from the factory. I had texted Matthew earlier in the day to see what time he would be home at. And he replied back and told me it probably wouldn't be till about 6:30. So as soon as I got that message in, I was counting down the minutes. 6:30 arrived, and Matthew hadn't got home yet, but Hartford had arrived home and was in the garage. Then 5 minutes passed, and we became a little on edge, not trying to say too much between each other. Phyllis asked me, did I ever worry about Matthew coming home on the bike? And I usually didn't. I really had a peace in my heart that he always would just arrive home. But this evening wasn't the same, but I really didn't want to admit that to Phyllis at the time. As time kept passing, I got up and I was walking Eve around the house, keeping my eyes on the gates and hoping to hear or see Matthew pulling up any minute. I just had a feeling inside that there was definitely something not right, and I had a sickness in my stomach. I just wanted to get into the car and drive to the factory to see where Matthew was. I began ringing his phone, although I knew that if he was on his way home, there would be no way of him being able to answer it. But instead of it even ringing, it went straight to voicemail. I then checked for his phone location, and this is something we had figured out so that if he was ever out on the bike, I could tell where he was and when he was coming home for his tea. So I checked it, and it just continuously told me that he was at the end of the road, and each time I refreshed it, it never moved. So I tried to tell myself it just wasn't working and that he had no signal and he had maybe just headed to his brother Ford's house. Then my phone rang and I had a couple of different people ringing me at the same time, and they were all neighbours from Donaghcloney ringing me to tell me that the police were at my front door asking for me. All of a sudden, I went from having a sick feeling in my stomach to being completely numb. I tried to redirect them from our house in Donaghcloney to Phyllis and Hartford's house in Blackskull. Meanwhile, Phyllis was on the phone to Ford, Matthew's brother, to see if Matthew had stopped in with him on the way home. She looked at me and I had to tell her what was going on. What seemed like hours later, the police arrived through the gates and Ford got out the back of the car. Ford had drove to our house in Donaghcloney and had met the police as they were driving out of our housing development. I remember standing with Eve in my arms that night, wrapped in a little yellow blanket, and I went from feeling like my life was perfect to feeling like I was now standing in a life that wasn't even mine. The policeman and woman stepped out of the car and immediately removed their hats, and this is when you know there's something really very serious wrong. They asked for me as I was Matthew's next of kin, but before they even said a word, I knew what they were going to say. I found myself immediately praying to God that it was a mistake, that they were maybe at the wrong house, looking for the wrong person. I was hoping that they were going to tell me that Matthew had maybe been caught speeding, maybe it ended up with a flat wheel, or if he had been involved in an accident, it was maybe just a few limbs and he was maybe on his way to the hospital. Then the words were said out loud. Matthew had been involved in a road traffic collision on his motorbike at around 6:30, and as a result had been killed. Our precious Matthew had been taken home to glory, and in a split second, my life and all the plans I had once thought I had crashed to the ground. I looked at Eve and I couldn't help but think how cruel it was. Yes, it was terrible I had lost my husband, but Eve had lost her daddy. It was just cruel. I had 7 years with Matthew and our little Eve only had 3 weeks. I couldn't wrap my head around it. Why me? Why now? What had I done so wrong? I couldn't help but think that God was punishing me for something. But what could I have done so wrong that I deserved this? As family started arriving at the house, I felt like I was standing in a bubble. How was this now my life? Hearing everyone and talking and hearing all the different things being said, like a family liaison, and I didn't even know what that was before the 7th of April. Words like road traffic collision, death, each word was like a stab to the heart. And now at the age of 23, I was being referred to as Matthew's widow. How was I ever supposed to accept this as my life? This wasn't what I wanted. I wasn't strong enough to be a mum on my own or to raise a child the way Matthew would want or the way God would want. I don't remember much of what happened for the few days after, from making crazy plans for the future of Disneyland to now making heartbreaking and gut-wrenching decisions for a funeral, all while trying to figure out how my God could be this good God. How could any of this be good? How could he let something like this happen? Especially at the time when I needed Matthew the most, and even more so when Eve needed him. The next few weeks and even months were such a blur. I felt like I was standing in a bubble, looking on somebody else's life, but not realising it was mine. I was able to read through newspaper articles and Facebook articles, feeling very sorry for this person that I was reading about and didn't realise it was me. I couldn't read my Bible or even pray, and I really didn't know who I was anymore. I lost all sense of identity the day Matthew went to heaven, but I thank God for my family, friends, and Matthew's family who have helped me and Eve right up until this present day. My brothers, who I had always looked on as so immature before, were now stepping up into support and role that I never imagined they could have been. They, along with my dad, Ford and Hartford, have stepped into daddy figures for Eve, who she absolutely adores. Eve's cousins have been some of the best company for her, and they will have lots of memories of her daddy. As she grows up, they'll be able to share them all with her, like how her daddy used to do donuts in the yard, and how his cars were always so loud. My mum, Phyllis, and Nikki have been an amazing support, encouraging me all along the way and helping me with all the tips of being a mummy. And this is only the beginning of the support that God has blessed me with to help me through each day since. Time has been one of the toughest challenges to come with grief. The passing of time, as much as it's a day closer each day to being reunited with Matthew, it's also a reminder of how long it has been. The horrible thoughts of when Eve was 7 weeks old. At this point, I realised I had spent more time as a single mum than I ever got to spend as a family of three with Matthew. Spending more wedding anniversaries as a widow than I ever got to spend as a wife. The birthdays, Christmas, and all the holidays that you thought were going to be filled with so much happiness are now tinged with so much sadness. Life is so fragile, and I now know that better than ever. It can all change in the space of a second, and ours changed dramatically. My wee family was torn apart, but in the midst of it all, there are blessings. And the biggest blessing we have is that Matthew's soul was ready. He was right with God, and in that split second, he went straight from earth to unimaginable bliss in heaven. There have been so many blessings and encouragements since Matthew went to be with the Lord. Souls have been saved, and when we've been at our lowest, God has sent signs, whether it's been through someone sending a text message, reading a Bible verse, or even the boy Matthew boat in Port Stewart. Some of them seem so small and insignificant to others, but they've meant so much to us in our time of need, and God has known that we've needed them. Details right down to the name we chose for our baby. Eve, the meaning of life, the meaning of Eve is the time before an event, or the biblical meaning of Eve is source of life. And this is what Eve is for all of us. She's been our source of life that we have all needed and our little anchor that has kept us all together through the storm. She's my little focus that keeps me on my toes, and she definitely does that. And she helps me through the darkest of days. It's definitely not the way I ever would have planned my life, but I have to put my full faith in God, that his timing is perfect, and there is a reason behind all this, even though I can't see it, and I may never find out the reason until I get to heaven. But as it says in John 13 and verse 7, "What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter." God has been by my side through this valley, and he's given me the strength each day to move forward. And I'm not saying that every day is easy, and there's probably still plenty of dark days to come, but there is hope. He has given me the strength. I was able to return back to work in March 2021, which has been a good distraction for me, and it's given me the opportunity to speak to others as well. He has guided us each step of the way, and in March, even me moved into our own wee house in Antrim. Again, this wasn't what we had ever planned, and it took a while for us to adjust. But God has been with us every step of the way. It won't be easy, and there will still be many hurdles, but with God as our main focus, he will guide us. One thing I'm thankful to God for is knowing that Matthew was ready. Each day is a day closer to seeing him again, and this gives me so much hope. I'm thankful that out of everyone, God chose me. He could have chosen anyone on the planet for Matthew, but I was blessed with knowing such a great person and getting to call him my husband. And the family I've gained that day that I married Matthew are nothing short of amazing. They're such a blessing, and to have myself and Eve surrounded by such godly people on both sides of our family is really one of the biggest blessings we could have. I'm thankful for the friends that God has given to me, who have ended up to be more like family. My family and friends through it all have been there, encouraging me every day at every step of the way. I'm thankful for Eve, who is now called Eve Maddie Jean, after her daddy, and I don't even really know what to say about her. She's my wee sidekick that makes me laugh, even on the toughest and darkest of days. She's her daddy's double in so many ways. She loves making people smile, making them laugh, and she loves her cars and her motorbikes too. She's the happiest little girl and enjoys talking to everyone. And God has really given me the most special daughter in Eve, and he knew that she's what I needed to get me through this journey that he's put us on. I'm thankful for the prayers. For the past 2 years, people from everywhere have been praying for us as a family, and it really has been the prayers of God's people that have given us the strength to get up and go on each day. And I have to give God all the glory for carrying me through this. I couldn't get through these days without him. Through our trials, he is our refuge and strength, and he promises to be with us wherever we go. As it says in Esther 4 and verse 14, "For such a time as this, we are all put on earth for a purpose for God, to do a work for him, and there's nothing we go through that God doesn't know about." God knew everything about us before we were even born and before we came to be. And when I think back to how Matthew carried Eve with such control in one hand, it often reminds me how God carries us. We may think he doesn't have it under control and that he's maybe forgotten about us, and when bad things happen, he didn't really realise. But God's always by our side, even through the toughest of times. And in fact, that's when we actually feel him the closest, when we lean into him to help us through the tough times. And once we're a child of God, he'll never let us go. I can't believe I've made it through over 2 years now of this path that God has laid out for me. And this testimony hasn't been me here telling you of how strong a person I am, because without God, I'm absolutely nothing. I can't go through this on my own. And I really don't know what the future holds. I'm not guaranteed that we as a family, or me as myself, won't have more trials. I need God to lead me every step of the way, and I pray that God uses me and my wee family and our story for his glory. I pray that Eve would be saved early in life, and I pray that she would know her daddy's king, and that others may realise that tomorrow is not promised to anyone, so we must be ready for eternity. Are you ready? Is your heart right with God? We aren't asked to be these perfect people in order to be saved. And the truth is, not one of us are. We're not even close. God tells us all we have to do is believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. We're not guaranteed to live to the age of 70. And we can make all the plans for our lives, but we aren't promised that any of these are going to happen. Matthew left for work on the 7th of April, expecting to come home that evening to his family. But they weren't the plans that God had for him or for us. When Matthew texted me that afternoon to tell me he would be home around 6:30, we never thought it was going to be his eternal home in heaven. As a family, we are so thankful that Matthew's heart was right with God, and we can say that he is absent from the body and present with the Lord. We're not promised many years on this earth, and our life is like a vapour, but we can guarantee ourselves everlasting life with Christ if we believe and put our full trust in him. So please don't leave tonight without making sure your heart is right with God. Thank you.
I want to say thank you to Kira for sharing that testimony tonight. And I remember Kira at primary school. I was a teacher in Cronauts whenever she was there, and I hope it wasn't me that put you off school. but I certainly remember you there, P5 or 6, I think you were at that time. And we rejoice in what the Lord has done and brought you through to this hour. We're going to sing a few verses of 323. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Saved a wretch like me, I once was lost, but now I am found, was blind, but now I see. We're going to sing verse 1, 3, 5, and 7, the odd number of verses. Our sisters talked about the grace of God, and it's grace that's brought us safe thus far, and it's grace that will lead us home. And we'll stand and sing this together, and then I just want to leave a verse of scripture as we close. Closing moments of our meeting, please take the scriptures tonight and turn with me to Proverbs chapter 27. Just want to leave one verse of scripture before you, and our sisters referred to several of the things I'm going to say tonight, and certainly we just want to leave this. We trust God will speak to hearts tonight. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse number 1. God's word says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Let's unite our hearts in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank thee and we praise thee for our sister's testimony. We thank thee how she has given the glory to the Lord and Lord, how you brought her to this point in her life. And we pray, Lord, your continued blessing upon her. We pray for little Eve that you'll bring her to faith in the Lord Jesus very early in life. And we pray, O Lord, that even through our sister's testimony, that others will come to know Christ as Saviour. We thank thee, Lord, that thy grace is sufficient for whatever we have to face. And our prayer is that tonight others would consider how they stand before the Lord. And if they're not yet ready, they'll put their faith and trust in the Saviour. Lord, bless us tonight. Give help. Empty me of self and sin. Fill me with thy Spirit, I pray. May God be glorified in the closing moments even of this time. In his name we pray. Amen. We see two things in this verse. We see a foolish activity. That foolish activity is boasting thyself of tomorrow. Boasting thyself of tomorrow. I've no doubt that everybody in this meeting has made plans in preparation for the future. Your plans for tomorrow, you know exactly what you hope to do tomorrow. Perhaps you're even looking further into the future, and you can tell me about plans that you've made with the savings in your bank account, for holidays that you've planned, dates in your diary. Do you know there's some in this gathering, and you may have actually made plans for death? Funeral plans have been made with the undertaker, maybe with the minister, and they've been paid for. Maybe insurance policies have been taken out, so if something happens to you, your family will be cared for. But have you made preparation for eternity? You see, the Bible says, prepare to meet thy God. And we can get so taken up with time that we forget we're only here for a little while. And someday God will call us out into eternity. And if you turn with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, we read of a man who was taken up with the things of time. And the things he could hold in his hand and the things he could see now. And he had no thought of his soul. And he had no thought of eternity. And the Bible says in Luke chapter 12 verse 16. And Jesus spake a parable unto them saying. The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room wherewith to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. This man enjoyed what we refer to as the common grace of God. That common grace that is upon all, whether saved or unsaved. Those blessings that none of us deserve. The sun that shines, the rain that falls, the food that grows, the health that we have, the soundness of body, the soundness of mind. Those are things that the saved enjoy and the unsaved enjoy. Those are God's common grace upon us. And this man was successful, but that was no mark of spirituality. That was no mark of favor with God or being in a relationship with God. He faced a situation where he didn't have enough room, a lovely problem to have in his particular line of work. And he made plans for extra storage on the farm and what he was going to do. And there was absolutely nothing wrong with that at all. It's wise to make plans and to certainly seek to do the best you can. However, his plans were made with an assumption of tomorrow and with no thought of God. In fact, not only an assumption of tomorrow, but an assumption of many years ahead. Oh, I have many years ahead. I'll eat, I'll drink, I'll be merry because of the blessings that I have just now. And God had an analysis of this man. Oh, there's people around, they said, he's successful. He's wise. He's hardworking. But God declared him to be a fool. A fool. He had so much on earth and nothing in eternity. So much for living, but nothing for dying. So much he could hold in his hand, but it had to be left behind. What is God's analysis of you tonight? Are you wise because you have made preparation for your soul? That you're ready to meet God should he come or call? Or is it tonight God calls you a fool because you've made no preparation for eternity? You're not ready to die. Because if you died this moment, you would be in hell. A foolish activity. Boasting thyself of tomorrow. There's not one in this gathering can say that they'll even see their home tonight. Never mind tomorrow. But notice also in Proverbs chapter 27 in the verse number 1, not only is there a foolish activity, a boasting of the future, but there's a great limitation. Oh, you know, there's great limitations with us. We sometimes think we're so great, we're so clever, we're so wise, and all of these things so strong. But the Bible says, thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Oh, there are people in this world, and they know everything. No matter what subject you bring up, no matter what you're talking about, they know the answer. They have the answer for you. But friend, they know not. I was reading a very interesting story, true story, this week, and maybe some of you will remember it. The weather forecaster Michael Fish, on the 15th of October 1987, started the weather forecast after the 1 o'clock news on BBC One, and he said these words: "Good evening. Earlier on today, apparently, a woman rang the BBC and said she heard there was a hurricane on the way. Well, if you're watching, don't worry, there isn't. But having said that, the weather will be very windy, but most of the strong winds will be down over Spain and across into France." I'm sure some people remember this. That night, one of the greatest hurricane force winds came across the southern part of the United Kingdom. 22 people were killed. £2 billion worth of damage was made. That man stood on television, told people, don't worry, it's not coming. Even with all the equipment, with all the data that they had, he didn't know what lay ahead. And friend, we need to be honest before God tonight and say not one of us knows what lies ahead. Not one of us knows what we have to face tomorrow. Not one of us knows even what the next hour will bring. And yet there are many people maybe in this gathering, and you're living on the assumption that you've much time, that you have years ahead, that you have health that's going to last you for decades. You're living in the assumption that perhaps at the end of your life you'll get saved. Maybe that you'll have a deathbed conversion, that you'll enjoy life and then worry about the matter of your soul. You're assuming that you have another day to live. Friend, you do not know what lies ahead. And I stand in this pulpit and I do not know what lies ahead. And many a person has made a fool of themselves over the past number of years by prophesying what they thought lay ahead. You know what the Bible tells us about making plans? James chapter 4. It says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell, and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be in the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanisheth away. For ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live, and do this or that. God's people are told how to prepare for the future. You make your plans. And then you say, DV, Lord willing. That should be written over everybody's diary. That should be written over every plan. At the end of the announcements, we say we make these announcements subject to the will of God, because we've made the plans, but only God knows what the future holds. Friend, you're not guaranteed tomorrow. This moment, this very moment in which you're living today, is the only time that you can be sure of. You see, there is a foolish activity. There's a great limitation. But praise God, there is a sure confidence that each of us can have this evening. It's wrong to boast of tomorrow. It's wrong to presume that you will have another opportunity. But if you turn with me to Galatians chapter 6, here's something that you can boast in. Praise God. And what a difference it makes. In Galatians chapter 6, and verse number 14, and with these words we're almost through. Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. There is only one confidence we can have as we face an unknown future, and that is confidence in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died upon the cross of Calvary for sinners. A confidence that you're trusting in his finished work as a means of your salvation. You see, it's only the work of Christ, the blood of Christ, that brings pardon for your sin. It's only the blood of Christ that brings peace with God. It's only the blood of Christ that brings people to heaven. And if you're saved tonight, even though you don't know the future, even though you don't know what happens tomorrow, you can join with the words of the hymn writer and say, "Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ your King," because you have a living Savior. But if you're not saved tonight, there's no rejoicing for you. There is no hope outside of Christ. Those who are not saved are without God and without Christ in this world. Death is coming. Unless the Lord comes in our lifetime, we will face death. That's certain. But when we face it is uncertain. And therefore, we must be ready. How can you be ready for that day when the Lord comes and the Lord calls? Simply by taking the Lord at his word. Our sister shared how, as a young lady, she trusted Christ as her Savior. She believed that Christ had died for her, had borne her sins, shed his blood for her, and she asked the Lord to save her into her heart, into her life, to be her Savior, her Lord, and her friend. Praise God, he's never failed her. And the Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And that's what you have to do tonight. You must come to Christ as a sinner, confessing you need him, otherwise you'll be lost for all eternity in hell. You must come believing that what he did on the cross is sufficient to save you, and you must come asking him to save you through the blood he shed on Calvary. I'm glad tonight that many in this gathering are saved. But what about you? What about you tonight? Are you ready to meet the Lord? That is all that matters in life, that you're prepared to die. Anything else you're living for is worthless. Friend, it'll count for nothing in eternity. The bank account's left behind. The car is left behind. The reputation, the family is left behind. And your soul will go out into eternity, either to be in the place of the damned, in the outer darkness without God, or in a place that's called paradise, a place prepared for those that are prepared to meet him. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, will cleanse you from all sin if you will come and trust in him. Don't tell me about your intentions. Don't tell me about what you hope to do. Friend, I beg you now in this moment, as her sister has testified of the brevity of life, as God's word has warned not to presume upon another day, I beg you tonight to make sure your soul is right with God, to bow your head, to call on the Lord to save you. I can't save you. This church can't save you. But there's one who lived and died and rose again for sinners. One who can save in a moment, forgive your sin, cleanse your heart, make you his child. Three times her sister said tonight, so glad her husband was saved. That makes a difference. Will you not come tonight? What's holding you back? What What is it that's holding you back from receiving the gift of eternal life? May God give you grace to call. May God give you grace to come. And may this night be the best night of your life. The night you're born again of the Spirit of God, saved eternally through his blood. Our closing hymn tonight is a response to the gospel. And as we sing these words, make them the prayer of your heart. It's 288. I am coming to the cross. I am poor and weak and blind. I am counting all but dross. I shall full salvation find. The last line of the chorus says, save me, Jesus. Save me now. A friend, if you call and sincerely mean those words, he will hear you. And even as others around you are singing, you can know the joy of salvation. Let's stand and sing this together and remain standing for prayer.
I am coming to the cross. I am poor and weak and blind. I am counting all the dross. I shall through salvation find. I am trusting, Lord, in thee.
In prayer, is there someone tonight needs to be saved? Is there someone who will come and call upon the Lord? Surely it's time. Surely the Lord's calling you tonight. Oh, don't leave without him. If you'd like to speak to me more about the matter of your soul's salvation, I would love to show you from God's word how you truly can be saved. But don't put it off. Call upon him now. And if you have trusted Christ tonight, do let us know. We'll give you some literature to help you on your way as a Christian. We certainly would love to pray with you and ask for God to bless you in your walk with him. My friend, don't leave here tonight without Christ. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Praise God, we can boast in the cross of Calvary and the finished work. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the stillness in this meeting tonight. Thou art here. Thou art ministering by thy Spirit. And, O Lord, we believe thee are dealing with hearts. Don't allow someone to leave without the Savior. O Lord, don't allow them to go on in their sin, presuming upon another time. But, O Lord, give grace tonight to say, I am coming, trusting, Lord, in thee. Precious Lamb of Calvary, humbly at thy cross I bow. Save me, Jesus. Save me now. We thank thee for the privilege of being in this place tonight. May each one of us know that we're ready to meet on that day when the roll is called up yonder. Oh, Lord, give deciding grace tonight, we pray. For Christ's sake, we ask it. Amen. Amen.